We know that Tony Abbott became Prime Minister off the back of the disaster of the Rudd-Gillard-Rudd years and that decision of the Labor Party to dump a sitting Prime Minister and replace him with Julia Gillard. It's quite eerie what's going on now. You've got Tony Abbott going from mistake to mistake, stumble to stumble. He's never been popular. We've had the disaster of what's happened with Prince Philip. We've got the obvious successor in Julie Bishop being constantly talked about and her star constantly rising. You've then got Scott Morrison floating around on the sidelines there and Malcolm Turnbull, who we've heard nothing from for quite a while. And yesterday we told you that the view in the Liberal Party was that he's got till the middle of the year, Tony Abbott, to turn things around, to change his fortunes, or his position will be in serious jeopardy. That was before the gaffe over Prince Philip. Peter Van Onselen is a Sky News political commentator who is right across all of this. He joins us now. Peter, good morning.
G'day, good to be with you.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
It is. Not hard to believe if you believe the constant critics of Tony Abbott, but they were the same people that underestimated him year in, year out before he won a thumpy majority at the end of 2013. So for everyone else, including the large number of Australians that gave him that majority, I think it's incredibly hard to believe.
Yeah, and the number of people, commentators, who would normally you'd expect rush to his defence, unanimous in their criticism of him. People in your own newspaper, Greg Sheridan, who's a lifelong friend of his, going back to university days, who gives him a bucketing today.
Absolutely crushed him, yeah. It's wall-to-wall criticism, and in a way, the criticism coming from his own side, particularly the right flank within his own sort of liberal sphere, if you like, that is the much more damaging criticism, because you expect it from the opposition, you expect it from people that probably have never voted liberal, and to some extent you can recover from it when it is people who are swinging voters, because you try to get them back closer to polling day. But this issue has absolutely frustrated his right flank, because they feel like he's selling them out on issues that matter to them, like the 18C debate and so on. Yet when it comes to his own, if you like, right-wing or conservative indulgences, like giving Prince Philip a knighthood, where they couldn't care less about it, and they think it's strategically dumb, he's going forward and doing that when he's not prepared to do the tough stuff that they think is what it's all about, having a right-wing Prime Minister.
Peter, are you hearing the same story, that he's got 6 months to turn it around?
Well, look, I am. I was laughing when I heard the introduction on that, because I was thinking, well, he's probably only got a week if they could find a way to do it. But the problem, whether it's 6 months, 12 months or a week, is the mechanism. The problem with the Liberal Party is, whilst Julie Bishop has certainly risen, I think, as the obvious heir apparent, if they are going to look to move on, there's so many moving parts to try to bring her back. Does Joe Hockey stay, or do they try to move Malcolm Turnbull in? If they try to move Malcolm Turnbull in, does that mean that the right flank won't support Julie Bishop coming back into the role? They don't have strong factions like the Labor Party, so it's not a case of ringing MPs and saying you vote this way or you vote that way. So it's a bit more like herding cats in the Liberal Party.
But yeah, I was actually going to ask you that question, because in the Labor movement, we've always seen the Faulkners and the Shortens who have gone up and tapped someone on the shoulder. But in the Liberal Party, who are the figures there who will be the kingmakers?
Well, yeah, it's not quite the same. The Senate is where you look, though. There's no sort of individual that you can really identify as a power broker as such, because they have small cabals, would be the way I'd put it. And even then, Liberals think independently in the way that they choose to vote. But where to look for any telltale signs of this stepping beyond speculation into actual movement and number counting is very much the Senate. It was the Senate that moved against Malcolm Turnbull, the Conservative senators, and it will be the senators as the party apparatchiks and the power brokers of a liberal variety that will be the ones that will start any movement against Tony Abbott if it is to happen.
We've seen a number of these gaffes, and the big criticism about the Prime Minister has been that he's just out of touch with how normal Australians think. Is the Prime Minister really one of us?
Well, not with decisions like this. Look, he's not on paper one of us. He never has been. He went to Riverview, son of a doctor. He's had a very privileged background, studied law at Sydney University, became a Rhodes Scholar. But he has had a common touch, almost a common touch that his critics have not liked, because when he meets people one-on-one, he's a very likable fellow. I've always had this line about him that if you don't like Tony Abbott, don't meet him, because he'll change your mind. He's personable at that one-on-one level in a way that often surprises even his harshest critics, even like someone like a Robert Mann, when he got to meet Tony Abbott, quite liked him personally, even though he could hardly disagree with him on more policy issues than he does. But that is being lost, I think, in the bubble of the Prime Ministership, whether he's being shielded by his office or not. There's been speculation about that. We've talked about that before. So that common touch that he once had when he was polypedaling and surf life-saving, I think the bubble of the PMO and the bubble of being Prime Minister has made him lose that. And in a sense, it means that those indulgences of his that have always been there, like his love of the monarchy and the royal family, he's making steps in that direction where he loses a fair dinkum gauge of what people might accept.
Yeah, just a final one. Then you talk about indulgences. Is there a way out, like, for instance, by standing up and saying he's going to dump the PPL because there's so much criticism internally, he tries to win people back that way?
Yeah, I was trying to work this out yesterday, actually. What is his way out? I feel like everything has a downside. So if he dumps the PPL, elements will like that, but he'll also still be seen by other corners as being weak. It'll be the third iteration of the dump. I don't see an easy way out. On the Knights and Dames, I think at the very least what he has to do when he finally decides to make another comment on that is going to be to announce that in future it will be something that is determined by the Order of Australia Committee.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Stop it being captain's pick at the very least.
Yeah. All right, Peter, good to talk to you as always. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Peter Van Onselen, you see him on Sky News, you read him in The Australian. That's the situation.